You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we're back. We're back, and we've got our UHealth special guests, and we are doing a full half show with them. It is going to be great. We are talking to the concussion experts. We have got Dr. Gillian Hotz, PhD. She's the director of concussion program and Kids Neuroscience Center at UHealth, and Dr. Michael Hoffer, he's the director of the UHealth Department of, oh my God, I can't even pronounce that word, otolaryngology, he'll correct me, vestibular and balance program. Oh my gosh, Dr. Hoffer, welcome to the show. Please correct me right up front. How do you say that stuff?
Otolaryngology?
Yeah, I guess that you got a degree just to say that, didn't you?
No, I still can't pronounce it.
All right, doctors.
I certainly can't spell it.
Well, listen, I think that we've got to really get started here because there's a lot of ground to cover. Everybody has heard about concussions and what's going on or mild brain injuries. So I guess we should start with this. What's a concussion versus a mild brain injury? And are these really things we need to take seriously?
Michael, do you want to answer that one?
Yes. Well, they're really largely synonymous. Concussion is a term that, you know, has been around for many, many years, describing blows to the brain. And mild traumatic brain injury just, you know, classifies it more clearly as mild injury to the brain. So mild traumatic brain injury is, in a sense, a fancy medical term for what most people call a concussion.
So this could be anybody from a school child playing soccer to an NFL ball player to somebody in the military who just got near miss with a round of an artillery or something. These are the types of things we're talking about.
Those and many others.
Correct.
Okay. Now, Dr. Hotz, I know that you've been studying this as well, and I've been watching a lot of TV because I'm a sports fan, and they start talking about this thing called CTE, which I can't pronounce that either, and concussions, and then they talk about all this stuff in your brain that's, I don't know what's going on. Can you help me out and help me understand the relationship here?
Okay, so let's sort of try and clarify this. The concussion part's a biomechanical force to the brain. So any traumatic force to the brain, and this can be caused, as you stated previously, from multiple mechanisms. And, you know, we're hearing a lot about this now because the relationship to sports and contact sports. And we also have to remember that we're talking a lot about different ages and stages of brain development. So having a hit to your head playing football or soccer or on a bicycle and you fall off is very different than a NFL or an NHL hockey player taking a hit on the ice, just the velocity and the force alone. So I think, you know, we have to now understand that when you say the word concussion, there's a lot of different things that it means depending on the age and stage and sport or mechanism of injury you're talking about. So I wanted to just clarify that first before we go on.
Yeah, I think it's very important. And what's this CTE? Can you help me understand what that is? Maybe we roll that to Dr. Hoffer?
Both of us can comment on that. CTE is a medical diagnosis that was made on pathologic specimens, meaning, you know, brains looked at after the individual had passed away, that were generously donated to science. And a number of doctors working in that area, the ones that the movie's focusing on and colleagues, discovered changes in these brains that had not been seen before. And the common denominator in this set of specimens was multiple traumatic blows. And so encephalopathy encephalopathy basically means there's damage to the brain, and chronic trauma means from chronic trauma. And this was discovered by doctors in Boston. But doctors for many, many years before that had been describing changes that were close to these, just not didn't have the volume of specimens to make the final diagnosis.
So this is like being punch drunk, basically, or something like that.
No, I think we have to clarify that as well. That, yeah. You know, when you have CTE and you're diagnosed at autopsy, it's multiple hits, multiple repeated hits that you're going to develop this increased protein. And we need to remember, this is a small subset of patients right now. We're just at the beginning of really understanding this.
Well, then I think that brings up a really important point, because everything I see on TV and I talk to people with kids, it seems like a lot of them are considering modifying the way that their children play sports and the sports that they play. It sounds to me like the results are still coming in, but that people should make decisions based on information at hand. Dr. Hotz?
Yeah, I think that this is the issue now, that it's sort of become a little bit the hysteria side. We need to bring the pendulum back to the middle. And we need to figure out first what the real evidence is here. And as I said before, in the different stages and ages of play. So when you're talking about a youth football player or hockey player or soccer player, this is very different than somebody playing high school versus college versus professional league.
Now,
so
what
I think we have to say to parents out there that we really don't know enough right now at these younger ages, and the positives outweigh the negatives of kids playing on team sports. And they, as Dr. Julian Bale says, the neurosurgeon who is also involved in the early stages of research with CTE and also in the movie played by Alec Baldwin, you know, he's also the medical director of Pop Warner. And he's just saying also that we really need to study this a lot more. You should be letting your kids play. Every case is different. You need to find out who the coaches are. Have they been trained in concussion management? And go from there.
Yeah, I mean, it's only been 2 weeks that I've known that the guy on the sidelines of the NFL game wearing the blue hat is the concussion guy. Now, what is being done?
One of the things we want to reemphasize is what Julian just said.
Sure.
You know, CTE has been identified in a very small subset of largely NFL players. And these were NFL players that played at a time when concussion wasn't being paid attention to. So they were getting multiple blows with less protection and with less protection, you know, medical protection as well. And we don't even know if the current generation of NFL players will get this, let alone kids who play, you know, high school ball or youth league ball. And we really want kids to be out there on the field playing.
Yeah, well, I just think that it's scary for parents that are, you know, let's say in their 40s and 50s that may remember Jim McMahon and then have Jim McMahon come out and say that he took all these blows to the head and it's what's making him goofy now. So you gotta understand where parents are coming from here on this. So
we do,
so
the group of experts that have gotten together a couple times now in the fall, there'll be a white paper coming out on the consensus about treatment this week in neurosurgery, really starts bringing the pendulum back down to the middle and saying, you know, wait a minute, we really need to understand this at the different levels. We can't compare these professional athletes to kids that are out there just having a fun afternoon in a park or playing in a youth league.
Well, you know, let me start doing some myth busting, because I watch plenty of TV on this stuff. It doesn't mean I'm a doctor, and I certainly didn't stay at a Holiday Inn Express. But, you know, they talk about the young kids trying to head the ball, and it's not really hitting the ball. It's when they hit heads together. So those kids playing soccer, hitting their heads together, it's a lot different than an NFL center hitting the nose tackle 30 times during the game. And I guess that's what you're kind of talking about, isn't it?
Right. Right, and I'm talking about these kids that, you know, hit their head together or the NFL player. We need to treat the symptoms. And we know that concussion is treatable. And acutely, if we treat early, we can treat the symptoms. And the goal is to try and get, you know, the player back onto the field. So I think, you know, we know a lot more now. We're doing better research and better trials. And again, I think we have to say to parents, look, just make sure that if you're dropping your kid off at an ice rink or a football field, just like you drop them off at the swimming pool, that you've got a licensed, certified lifeguard there, but you also have somebody who's licensed and certified in coaching your team and understand the signs and symptoms of concussion.
Okay, listen, we have to go to a break.
It's not just a male issue. Your girl athletes are just as much at risk as male athletes in the sports they play. So parents have to pay attention for both the girls and the boys.
Dr. Hoffer, Dr. Hotz, we've got a lot more ground I think we should cover here. You were just trying to squeeze that in. I've got another segment. Can you guys stick around for just a couple more minutes so we can get a little more information out to people?
Sure, no problem.
Happy to do so.
All right, great. Well, we'll be right back after this short break. AC, take it away. Bring us back because we've got to talk more concussions with these experts and get the myths busted. We'll be right back after this short break with more Freedom Business.